It is. The JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love and many thanks to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I hope you're safe. I hope you're well. I hope you're cool. I hope you're smooth. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 2 hours. This show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. So whether you happen to be on the road, you're at home, you're at work, you're leaving work, you're sick of that boss, you're going to go see that boss that you hate, you're going home to that family that you hate. Or maybe it's the family that you love. Maybe it's your other family. I don't know. I'm just here to mind my business talking about sports, like the World Series. That'll get started in about, 10 minutes from now. Hopefully without a performance from Fat Joe. Let's see if the Dodgers can go out there and win their 8th World Series. Let's see if the Dodgers sweep the Yankees. Hey, Dodgers, do us a favor. Just get it over with and stop the bleeding. Yankees stink. It's bad. Hey, that's some big NFL news today. We've talked about a lot of it. Anthony Richardson has been benched. Joe Flacco is taking over. George Brummer is going to come through. He covers the Indianapolis Colts. He's going to join us in about 20 minutes. We learned about the trade of Deontay Johnson. Moving on from the terrible Carolina Panthers, he is now a member of the Baltimore Ravens. The Steelers won another game last night in Monday Night Football. We'll talk about them momentarily. And then more big NFL news today. Stephon Diggs, he is out for the season. Torn ACL. It stinks, right? Think about a team like the Texans who are, they got Super Bowl hopes. They want to take the next level. They got C.J. Stroud, and now they got Mixon and Tank Dell, Nico Collins. They expecting to make some moves. Then injuries happen. Nico goes down with a hammy on injured reserve, and Diggs is gone. It'll be real interesting to see whether or not the Texans decide to try to add another receiver. Maybe they call up the New York Jets and say, hey, can you bring in Mike Williams? Take a listen. Actually, C.J. Stroud, he spoke to the media today, and he said, oh, my God, losing Stephon Diggs, a veteran wide receiver, multiple-time pro bowler, all-pro this, all-pro that, almost 500 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns, it's devastating.
It sucks. You know, it's not easy. It's not, you know, something that I just can have a whole bunch of words for. I just hoping, you know, and just trying to just wrap my mind around, you know, what happened. But it's tough, you know. You can't really try to think positively about it, but you know, it's not a bunch of positive thoughts. And I just really feel bad for him. You know, he's worked extremely hard. He's I think he was having one of the, you know, the best times he's ever had on the team. At least that's what he told us, you know. So you know, I just feel for him and praying for him, you know, and just hoping, you know, that, you know, he keeps his head up high and, you know, he'll bounce back even stronger. So, you know, it just sucks.
I don't know who and what. So I don't think anybody's available that's really going to help them out unless Cooper Kupp is let go. Unless the Los Angeles Rams decide, hey, we're going to move on from Cooper Kupp. And we played this last hour from Sean McVay. It doesn't appear that they are. I think the Texans are still in the same spot. You know, even when they had Stephon Diggs, and it stinks to say that they don't now, he's going to be heading into free agency, rehabbing a torn ACL. Whatever team he ends up on next year, they're going to get him on quite the discount, the prove it discount, when you now have a 30-plus-year-old wide receiver coming off of an ACL tear. It's going to be real interesting. But the Texans are still in that next batch of teams in the AFC that you just have to go, well, they're not the Chiefs. I guess if you have to look at it that way, you go Kansas City, then there's the Ravens, then there's the Bills, and then everybody else kind of has to fall behind them, and that includes the Texans. Hickey, am I missing anybody? Like, is that not the AFC?
No, it is. I didn't think that's the hierarchy. I think you nailed it.
Yeah, the Texans are right. I'm trying to see if I forgot anybody. Oh, people are going to get mad at me. No, wow, that's what it is. It really is. There's no team in the AFC South competing outside of the Texans.
No.
You take a look at the AFC North. Bengals are hoping to go on a stretch. Unlikely. Nobody's expecting anything from the Broncos, the Chargers, or the Raiders. Nothing. The AFC East is ravaged. The Dolphins, Tua's been out. Now they're 2-5. The Jets and Patriots have the same record, which is laughable. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's it. And then, how about this? The Steelers might be in the same position as the Texans. They might be on the same level. And maybe you didn't see them last night because, well, they played the New York Giants. Why would you want to see Daniel Jones? I get it. The Steelers are just, they're rolling right now. They got a record of 6-2. Russell Wilson just played in his second game, returning, threw for 278 yards and a touchdown, completed 20 of 28 passes. Hey, the Steelers are looking like a decent offense. I mean, they had two touchdowns, actually, from George Pickens that were taken away. And Calvin Austin out there, this man had a punt return for a touchdown. He caught a touchdown. And Najee Harris, he had 114 yards rushing. They look like a traditional offense. The Steelers are the most traditional football team, period. We want to punch you in the mouth. We want to control the line of scrimmage. We want to have great special teams. We want to block kicks and return kicks for touchdowns and get our hands on everything. Steelers football is fun. Unless it's like the first half of the game and it's just like, field goal city. Ain't nobody trying to wake up and see that. And so the Steelers, yeah, all the teams that I mentioned in the AFC, the Steelers are going to the postseason. They're hoping to go on a run with Russell Wilson. And, you know, to be honest, I'm not expecting them to do it. I think they could. I would not be shocked if we saw the Steelers in the AFC championship game. I wouldn't. Especially if Russell Wilson can continue just playing the way that he wants to play. He's kind of stuffed into the background right now as a bit character because Mike Tomlin is the boss. Mike Tomlin, he's the face of the Steelers. And I don't know, maybe that's why, you know, fans have such rancor at times because he is the face. He doesn't move. He doesn't change. He doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't get fired. The bodies and names can shift around him. Obviously, Ben Roethlisberger retiring, 2-3 years ago, that kind of changed things. But he's the guy. Russell Wilson doesn't have to show up and be the savior like he was expected to do out in Denver. They gave him that big old contract. I like the Steelers moving forward here into the season. And Mike Tomlin likes Russell Wilson because he says, hey, a week later, hey, he looked even less rusty.
He didn't need to warm up to it, you know, a little less rust than the week before, but I'm not surprised by his capabilities.
Very Mike Tomlin-esque. Okay, well, tell me some more. Let's actually hear from Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson, he's always inspirational. Listen to Russell Wilson. You tell me if you are now inspired, because he says, you know, we all want to be here. We all want to contribute. We all want to be special. Together,
we got great belief. We got unwavering faith in one another. I think our practice habits have been really exceptional, and we got to continue to grow on that. And every day, we've done a really good job of that. And we got to press in. We got to continue to press in. There's more touchdowns out there. There's more plays. There's more things, and we'll do that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They can grow. I like that. And I like the I like the Steelers. I like Mike Tomlin. I like Pittsburgh. I do. I love Pittsburgh. They got a nice whiskey place out there. I like Pittsburgh. I think they can compete in the AFC. I like them a lot. Mike Tomlin, he said it too. I like my guys I got in here. I don't got no knuckleheads. Maybe George Pickens, but I don't have no other knuckleheads.
We acknowledged we needed some plays, man, to break this thing open. And I had a bunch of guys that wanted to be the reason why we were successful. Can't say enough about Calvin, man. I just thought, you know, that's a big play. That punt return, man, was a catalyst for us. Again, as I mentioned, we just got a lot of guys that want to be the reasons why.
Oh, look at that. Hickey, even he's in a good mood. Mike Tomlin's in a good mood. How about that?
Rare, but so far it's 6-2, well-deserved, right?
Yeah, look, it does. I guess the Steeler fans want to fire him today. Yeah, fire him today. Why not? I've never met somebody. A group of fans that want to fire their guy all the time, every time. Speaking of firing somebody, yep, here's the Yankees getting ready. Hickey, is it over tonight for the Yankees?
Yes. No. Dead in the water.
Ouch. Shohei Ohtani leading things off. The New York Yankees backs up against the wall. If they lose a game, they're eliminated. They have to win four consecutive games, something that we've only seen done once before against the Yankees in 2004 when the Red Sox came back from an 0-3 deficit to beat the Yankees to win the American League Championship Series and ultimately win the World Series and by sweeping the St. Louis Cardinals 4-0. What a world, what a world. Let's go, Yankees. Not this year. We'll keep you up to date on the World Series as it continues on. Looks like the Dodgers, whether they win tonight or two nights from now, whatever the case might be, Dodgers well-positioned to win their eighth World Series championship. You know what? Speaking of a championship, let's listen to Russell Wilson one more time. He says, we, the Steelers. Hickey, has he called them Steeler Nation yet?
I've not heard him say it yet, no.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. Whatever he says, he's going to sound corny when he does it. This man, Russell Wilson, he says, we got a bye week. Then we have the Commanders, which they do. That'll be a fun game, right? Then they have Baltimore. That's going to be a tough game. Then they have Cleveland. They got Jameis Winston now. They got a real quarterback, not a pervert. They have Cincinnati. Cincinnati's not going to quit. And they got Cleveland again. They got the AFC punch you in the mouth. AFC North portion of their schedule. Then they got Philadelphia, not going to be easy. Then they got Baltimore, not going to be easy. Kansas City, not easy. Cincinnati, not easy. Hickey, I might change my mind, damn it, bro. This schedule is tough.
Wow, just like that? In the span of...
No. I still feel good. I'm
sure. Okay.
No, but this is a tough schedule.
It's very tough. I mean, playing every single divisional opponent down the stretch, brutal. Like you mentioned, some of the other ones are tough there as well. Chiefs.
Kansas City? Oh. Philly? Philly got it together for now. Don't talk to me about the postseason. Nick Sirianni will cry and then lose. Yeah, this is it. But this is the benefit of how they've started. Three straight victories, 6-2. Get the W's out the way while you can. And so even if they finish close to 500, I think the Ravens will still win the division. But the Steelers still have an opportunity to pick up a wild card. And I think they're very well positioned given how bad some of these teams are right now in the AFC, period. They're just a lot of bad teams right now, some due to injury, and some due to other issues, rebuilding and what have you. It's not good. It's similar to what we talked about earlier. You think about a team like the Colts, they're 4-4. What's the expectation of them doing anything? There is none. Like it's not good. They just benched their quarterback that they selected fourth overall last year, and I don't know. Hickey, what do you want from this team?
I want them to get an answer on Anthony Richardson. That's all I want. Okay. Good or bad, he can play or he can't. That's okay. All I want from this season.
And how much longer are you willing to kind of check in on that?
I am willing to give him this season, and I am also willing to give him next season.
Damn, you want to sacrifice another year? Does it feel that way?
I don't know. You got to know. And he's played 10 games in his career. 10. He's missed 60% of games so far.
He can't throw for 60% of his passes.
Well, that's a problem.
You think it can get better?
I do. I will say, and this is ironic coming from this past game when he tapped out and went a whole big bad 10 of 32. Early in the game, I actually thought he played well. And actually, I thought he played one of the better games he had. He was not getting help from his receivers. A few passes that were just off, just out of bounds. Like, he actually looked okay. But the completions were not there. The stats were not there. And then, obviously, the whole helmet tap kind of changed everything from there. But, like, I don't think he's that far away from breaking the corner or turning it around. But the only way you know, like, he may suck. And maybe I'm just being too optimistic here and seeing things that aren't there. But the only way you know if he sucks or not is by playing him. By seeing what he can do.
I think they have, and I think they saw what he can do, and I think
is
they
10
saw...
10 games, though, enough? Like, in your opinion, is 10 games enough to come to a conclusion?
No, but I think it's a combination of it all. It's his play when he does play. It's his completion percentage. It's his penchant for injuries. And now you've added another dimension to why he may not be the guy, because his whole team looked at him. This is Freddie Freeman did not. Oh my God,
this is unbelievable.
Freddie Freeman has now hit a home run in six consecutive World Series games. That is his fourth home run this season, this postseason. Six consecutive home runs is now in a World Series is now an all time record. Freddie Freeman walked into the series with a bum knee, couldn't run, a bum foot, and now he just had another home run. Hickey drug test him, right? What is he doing?
Oh, he's peeing in a cup later tonight, no doubt about it.
And the Dodgers now have a 2-0 lead in a wet, damp, rainy, dreary New York City. Or Bronx, New York. The Yankees better do something. Put some runs up on the board or something. This is pathetic and sad. Not quite like the Colts. Hickey, did I answer your question? He's marked enough boxes for me just to go, no thanks.
And it sounds like so far the Colts maybe agree with your logic.
They might. You know, we'll see. A matter of fact, let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, let's have a conversation with George Bremer. He's going to join us from the Herald Bulletin out of Anderson, Indiana. We're going to find out about these Colts, why they ultimately benched Anthony Richardson, when we might see him, how ready Flacco is, what the expectation is for the rest of the season, and what the expectation might be moving forward. We're locked in. George Bremer on the other side, the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. So much going on. World Series is going on. Dodgers already have another 2-0 lead against the Yankees. You could thank Freddie Freeman again. Another two-run home run. It's like deja vu all over again. And then we've also had some big news in the NFL today. Deontay Johnson moving from the Panthers to the Ravens. We see Stephon Diggs. He goes down with a torn ACL officially. And the Indianapolis Colts, they make a big move themselves. They told their pick from last year, the guy they selected at number 4 overall, they said, have a seat. We want the 39-year-old quarterback to lead the way. To talk about what's going on with the Colts, what this benching means for Anthony Richardson, what it means for a 4-4 team looking to secure a spot in the playoffs, joining us right now is George Bremer of the Herald Bulletin out in Indiana. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for the time. A little shocking to hear Anthony Richardson say, I need a playoff. We see the responses from inside the building and outside the building as well. Were you surprised that they took measures to tell him to take a seat today?
Yeah. I mean, obviously it was shocking on Saturday or Sunday. I'm so busy today. I've forgotten what day it is. But there's no doubt it was shocking Sunday when he tapped out of the game. And there were definitely private conversations that went on there, you know, telling him that that wasn't the standard that they're held up to. But we were told that that had nothing to do with the decision that was made today. This is purely performance based. And it was, I think the biggest surprise of it is that it's a complete shift in organizational philosophy right now. I mean, they've said for a year and a half, they understood this is a very inexperienced quarterback. You're going to take your lumps. You're going to, you know, ride the ups and downs with him. And 10 starts in, they pulled the plug. And now, you know, when you make a move like this, you go from developmental mode to what they're telling everybody now is win now mode. So I think that the way the rest of this season is judged is going to be different.
So when you the team says that they're doing this because of performance reasons, do you think the last straw was his admission that he needed to sit out? Didn't that give them a reason to hit the eject button?
I think it definitely affects everything about this. I mean, you know, they're going to say obviously it didn't, but I think when you look at, you know, what effect did it have in the locker room? We don't know that because we're not in there every day. You know, what effect does it have with the guys that are playing day to day with him? You've got a wide receiver out there right now in Michael Pittman Jr. who's playing through a back injury that's going to need treatment at some point and could still eventually land him on IR. And he's out there because he believes this team has a chance to play for something. And as long as they do, he's going to stay out there. You know, it's a bad look when your quarterback's tapping out. But, you know, my feeling is if that was the impetus for this, why did he go back into the game on Sunday? You had quite a lot of time left after that play. And, you know, he came right back in and wasn't at least openly punished that day. But I think it's the culmination of all these things. And you've got a guy right now who's not playing well enough. I mean, that's the bottom line of all of this. We can debate, you know, why a move was made and whether this philosophy is better or that, if a guy should play, if he should rest. The bottom line right now is he's not playing well. He's completing 44% of his passes. He's thrown 7 interceptions. He's lost a couple fumbles. And I think ultimately that's what it comes down to. They want to sit him down, let him kind of get his mind right, let him get out of this pressure cooker for a little while. They say they haven't given up on him. I think the problem with that theory or that explanation is historically it doesn't work. I mean, there are very few examples of first-round quarterbacks who have become the starter and were benched and then came back later and had success with that team. But that's what they're trying to accomplish here.
And George Bremer is joining us, covers the Colts for the Herald Bulletin in Indiana. When you look at the expectations with Joe Flacco now taking over, he's thrown 7 touchdowns to only 1 interception in 4 games. This is a team that's still sitting at 500 at 4-4. Where are the expectations at now for the Colts with Flacco at the helm?
I think they've set them as playoffs or bust. I mean, when you make this move, the only way you can defend it is if you at least make the playoffs and honestly probably advance to the playoffs. I think anything short of that, it's going to be a pretty – it's already a bad look when you pull the plug on your fourth number 4 overall pick after 10 starts, but I think it becomes a really bad look if you don't get anything out of the quarterback you put in there. And I think the concern with Flacco is he has played well. There's no question. The numbers that you just threw out there. But he's 39 years old. Until last season, he hadn't had a winning record as a starter since 2017. And right now, in these 2 games that he started, this completion percentage is at 65.7%, is the highest of his career. So I think regression is a real worry right now with him. And so, you know, can he go out and continue to play at the level he did a year ago? We've seen him do it in this situation, going 4-1 last year with Cleveland and leading them to the playoffs. That's obviously what the Colts are trying to get here. But I think it's a big ask. They're entering the toughest part of their schedule. They've got a tough matchup Sunday against the Vikings team that's coming off back-to-back losses that's been extremely good against the run. And so you're going to need to lean on the quarterback, and that might have played into this decision as well, knowing that the passing game is going to have to be a bigger part of that. But they've also got games coming up against the Lions and the Bills in the next few weeks. We're going to find out a lot about how much of a difference Joe Flacco can make in this team very quickly.
Well, George, having said what you just explained about the schedule, even past Minnesota on Sunday night, what are your expectations for the Indianapolis Colts moving forward?
I am pessimistic at the moment. You know, I think this defense has been very scrappy. I think they've played a little bit above their heads lately. But the degree of difficulty is going up pretty heavily for them here in the next few weeks with some of the quarterbacks they're going to face and some of the receivers they're going to face. And I think you're putting a lot on Joe Flacco's shoulders here to come out. And, you know, last year what he did with Cleveland was remarkable. But the Browns have one of the best defenses in the NFL, and they were able to run the ball a little bit. The Colts are going to have to lean on Jonathan Taylor. They're going to have to get consistent efforts from this defense. And the offensive line's going to have to play better. Honestly, you know, we've talked a lot about the struggles that Anthony Richardson's had. But the last couple weeks, he was under 60% pressure on his snap against Miami in the win, and it was 64% this past week against Houston. So those are the 2 highest totals of his career. And now they're probably going to play Sunday without their left tackle in Bernard Raimann. He's in the concussion protocol. Very rarely do you clear that in 1 week. So I would expect him not to play on Sunday. That's a lot on Joe Flacco's plate. We'll see. You know, they have a lot of confidence. They're making this move with the belief that this can turn them around and make them a playoff team. I think right now, if they go 1-3 in the next 4, that's a fairly probable outcome at this point.
George Bremer is here with us from the Herald Bulletin. Do we see Anthony Richardson again this season if Joe Flacco is healthy? And let's say the Colts don't make the postseason. Anthony Richardson, he's going to get 1 final chance next year, right?
That's the thought. I mean, they're being adamant right now behind the scenes that they haven't given up on him, even if it looks that way and it's going to be reported that way and feels that way for all intents and purposes. They are very adamant that's not what this is. But it'll be interesting to see, especially if they fall out of playoff contention now. I mean, if they do go 1-3 in the next 4, do you look to make the change back at that point? You know, or do you continue to ride Joe Flacco against a stretch run that's a lot easier? Once they get past these next 4 weeks, I think they've got Denver, might be the only team with a winning record right now in their final five. So I think there's some very tough decisions ahead. And then, really, for me, the biggest thing that this decision does is it throws the door open again next year. You had a pretty clear statement that Anthony Richardson was the future. He's the quarterback for the foreseeable future. The thought was he's going to get 3 years. That's how it normally goes. You know, they pull the plug now. Do you bring in competition next year? Do you bring back Joe Flacco? Does he start next year without any competition going into the season? That for me is really a lot of the question, the mystery that's left after today's move.
Well, we heard the comments from him after the game about him being tired. We heard Michael Parsons saying, "Hey man, next time lie." We heard his own center pretty much saying, "Yeah, I needed to talk to him behind the scenes." We haven't heard from him publicly as of yet. I haven't heard anything. Has there been anything in addition out of him since Sunday's admission that he was tired?
No, nothing publicly. I would agree. Probably is a good idea there to just say, "Hey, I landed on the ball wrong. You know, I needed a breath," or just something that you know could be plausible. And so that's probably telling the truth to your own detriment at that point. But he, behind the scenes, the word is that obviously he's devastated, as you would expect him to be. But the Colts feel like he's going to be able to handle this. And that's a big part of this, too. What kind of mental toll does it take? This week has obviously been very hard on him. You had the whole situation Sunday coming out of the game. Then they weren't able to finish that game. He played better in the second half. They came back within 3 points, but they can't complete the comeback and win the game. And now you're benched, you know, 22 years old. That's a lot to handle. I wouldn't have handled it well at that age. They have a lot of confidence in the building, though, that his character and his work ethic will shine through. But it's been a very tough week for Anthony Richardson, and it'll be very interesting to see how he responds.
Yeah, definitely, George. I look at it and I go, he's either completely tone deaf or he just doesn't care. It's not the latter, is it? It's not, because you can say, "Hey, I'm tired." Nobody's ever heard that. Is he just totally on his own planet, or does he not even give a damn? He's like, "Hey, I got checks coming. Why do I care?"
I mean, even Ryan Kelly said after the game that you really can't question, you know, if you watch the film, you really can't question his effort and his want to. I think sometimes he's just a little too honest for his own good. You know, that's probably a spot where you say, "Hey, look, I felt something, I tweaked something, and then I was able to go back in." It's a really bad look, and I think it was a bad look in the locker room as well, and that is obviously where it matters most.
Okay. Well, George, thank you so much for the time joining us covering the Colts from the Herald Bulletin. Where can people follow you online, read your works, all the good stuff? Fill us in.
Yeah, absolutely. All my work is at heraldbulletin.com/Colts. You can follow me on X at GM Brimmer.
Hey, George, do yourself a favor. Never admit you're tired, okay? Don't do that.
I will try.
All right, there we go. My man, George Brimmer, joining us. Make sure you go ahead and check him out. We're going to check out the Indianapolis Colts. You're going to have no choice. They're going to be in action. Sunday night football against the Minnesota Vikings. Let's see what they can do with this 39-year-old quarterback in Joe Flacco. Just trying to turn the season around. They ain't got too much turning around to do. They're sitting at 4-4. They are sitting at .500. What do I expect from them this year? Nothing either. Nothing. I don't know if we'll see Anthony Richardson. I'm sure Joe Flacco, given his age, maybe he'll get knocked around for a game. Anthony Richardson will get a chance and an opportunity to get back out there. We'll see. The Colts are one of those teams, I think, that are floating around in no man's land. And I don't want to say that it's ironic, because it's not the same thing. But you think about when Andrew Luck decided to walk away prior to the season starting in 2019. Andrew Luck was just like, "Man, I don't even beat the hell too much. Offensive line stinks. My ribs hurt. I got a lacerated liver, kidney. I'm over here peeing blood." And then he said, "I'm too smart for this. I'm leaving. I'm done." And now the Indianapolis Colts got another quarterback who I hope, George, is what he's saying is accurate. Just too honest for his own good. Just say, "I fell the wrong way. I got hurt. I needed to sit out of play." It happens a lot. It happens all the time. But nobody sits around and says, "I just sat down because I was tired." Ain't nobody saying that. Come on now. do better. Hey, good luck to the Colts. I hope we get an interesting matchup, right? 39-year-old quarterback shows up Sunday Night Football. Give me something interesting. Sign me up. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. The World Series is underway. Game four is here. The Yankees are, well, in the series, they're hanging on by a thread. To get an update on what they are currently doing,
you're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you oh so much to George Bremer for joining us. Covers the Indianapolis Colts for the Herald Bulletin in Indiana. Man, Anthony Richardson being told to sit down. Can't admit that you're tired. What the hell is wrong with you? Wild stuff, wild stuff. Speaking of wild stuff, I'm going to give you something wild that just took place in the World Series. And no, it wasn't another Freddie Freeman home run. Freddie Freeman now six consecutive games, World Series games with a home run. That is a Major League Baseball record. George Springer, he was tied with him with the record at five. Freddie Freeman, who came into this series with a balky leg, balky foot, ankle, foot, pick it. This man, all of a sudden, he's fine. He's like, hey, I got rest. I'm good. They're hitting home runs all over the place now. Good for him. The Dodgers lead the Yankees 2-0. I got some news to share with you in a second about that. But before we get there, it's time to tell you about the Defensive Player of the Week, sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. You can learn more at NavyFederal.org. Walker Buehler. This guy stunk in the regular season, coming off of surgery. He was a badass last night. Didn't give up no runs. Struck out five guys. The Dodgers took a commanding 3-0 series lead. 4-2 win over the Yankees. The Yankees couldn't manage nothing. Verdugo hit a meaningless home run at the end of the game. Buehler had the third lowest starter ERA in the World Series history. His ERA, half a run in 15 innings pitched, 0.5. It's crazy. It's nuts. The Dodgers are now one victory away from winning their eighth World Series title. And the New York Yankees, well, at this point in time, they've been swept six times in World Series. Let's see what they got left. They got 27 titles. It don't look like they're going number 28. And by the way, oh my goodness. Hickey, you saw this. I saw this. We saw the worst of a New York baseball fan. Gleyber Torres lined out down the right field wall. Mookie Betts, who is still, you know, one of the most athletic guys in the game, went to go snag the ball out of right field, and he jumped up and he caught it, and he did, right at the lip of the stands, right into the fans, because he's a freak. He's a great athlete. And so he comes down with the ball, and while he's kind of up in the air, he's grabbed at by two fans. One knucklehead fan who decides to, maybe if I rip the ball out of his glove, they won't realize that he caught it. And then another knucklehead fan who decides to grab Mookie Betts by the wrist and try to hold him while the other idiot rips the ball out of his glove. And this interaction had to have been no more than a hard 5-6 seconds. But Mookie Betts is looking at these guys and he's looking at the umpire like, do you see what these asses are doing? And then Hickey did, well, one guy certainly, he got the boot. And then the other guy, we think he got the boot too, right?
Have to. Like, that's truly fan behavior where that is not even a question. You're out, boom. There's a million camera angles. It's clear as day. You know who these fans are because they're sitting right there on the first row. I'm assuming, there's no way they're still in the stadium.
They're banned from Yankee Stadium, you think?
They should be. Like, that's one of those where not only do you get kicked out, like, you should be banned from every stadium. Like that's just stupid behavior and dangerous behavior where you should never be allowed inside any sort of sporting arena, stadium again.
Yeah, we are not exaggerating. They could have seriously injured Mookie Betts, especially the guy who decided to grab him and hold him by the... You're grabbing him by the wrist? What? Now, what type of catastrophe is this if Mookie Betts legitimately came down and had a wrist injury because some idiot fan, and I use idiot with a lot of discretion, I want to say something worse, but some idiot fan decides to grab him by the wrist while he is jumping in the air? Like, what are we doing here? What happens if he dislocates or breaks his wrist? I think Mookie Betts is well within his right to then just go ahead and break his face. I mean, given the physical interaction that they had with him, I think they're well. I think Mookie Betts is well enough in his right to want to punch them in the face. He has every reason, if he wanted to give him a full Ron Artest. But those two idiots are gone, and I just have a feeling, and it could be a good feel. Well, not a good or bad feeling. I don't know. I just have a feeling. It's early enough in the game. This was Hickey. This was the top of the second.
Bottom of the first.
Bottom of the first.
Leadoff batter for the Yankees.
That's right. That's right. Glaber is leadoff. That's right. This is early enough in the game, and I know it's a night game. He ain't have first pitch until a little after 8 o'clock, 8:10-ish. Hickey, how long you think those guys were drinking? Had to be, right? They were drinking? Were they drink? They had to be drinking.
I'm assuming so, just because I've never seen a fan actively try to rip the ball out of a player's glove like that.
Not like that. You see it, but not like that. They tried to hold him and then just, yeah, give me that. It was like two guys on a basketball court fighting for a loose ball, you know?
It was crazy. So I'm assuming, I hope. You're like, if you're sober and making that conscious thought of, I'm just going to rip the ball out here, that's bad. That's really bad.
I don't think you can. You got to be drunk to do that. Major League Baseball player jumps towards the stands, has his hand and wrist into the stands to catch the ball, has successfully caught the ball. Y'all are not fighting over the ball, but you're trying to pry the ball intentionally. You're not even trying to pry. You're trying to rip the ball, trying to open the glove and rip it out. And another idiot is there trying to hold his wrist so he cannot interfere and move him away out of his own hand. It's bad. And I know we talk a lot about how bad some of the fans in Philadelphia are and automatically goes to little kids throwing middle fingers and Philadelphia fans throwing snowballs at Santa Claus and all of this stuff. They got a prison jail cell, in the bottom of the vet. We can go on and on. Like, that's nasty. And a lot of people try to wonder at times, hey, why do people not like New Yorkers? Well, look at that crap. Like, I don't think I'd see that. You could say that could happen anywhere. I don't think I'd see that happening in Minnesota. Do we got a two home? Oh, my God. Oh, Hickey, no, they didn't. The Yankees can't catch a break.
Not only did they not get a two-run homer, they didn't even score a run on that.
Yeah, they didn't. How many runs are they going to get out of this inning?
Zero.
Yeah, basically. Oh, who did that? Was that Volpe with the double or is that Wells? Wells with the double.
Wells with the double, and Anthony Volpe, as the ball hit off the wall, tried to tag up and instead only got to third base.
Yeah, he's shaking his head. He's out of breath trying to figure out why he couldn't score. He's like, oh, yeah, bad. Okay, I can't do it. Yeah, the way things are going for the Yankees is not going to be any scores. And this is almost impossible. What they're trying to do, this bounce back. We have gone through this. The Red Sox are the only team that ever have done this. Come back from an 0-3 deficit. Ever, ever, ever. And I don't think we're going to see anything different here with the New York Yankees. You think about some of the other teams. 2014 in the NHL, the Kings came back to beat the Sharks. In 2010, in the NHL playoffs, the Flyers came back to beat the Bruins. The last time we saw this in baseball, we talked about it. The Red Sox beat the Yankees in the ALCS. We have to go back to 1975 in hockey to see the Islanders come back to beat the Penguins. And then in 1942, the Maple Leafs came back to beat the Red Wings. And so when it comes to baseball, the Red Sox are the only team to do it. And then when you think about the other occasions, it's all been hockey. It's all been hockey. That's it. There's nothing else. So congratulations and good luck to the New York Yankees. They are just about cooked in embarrassing fashion. Aaron Judge, I don't know. Hickey, what is he going to do in the offseason? Just get bigger? What is he going to do? It's nothing for him to do. Nothing. But go see a psychiatrist.
Can you simulate the pressure of a playoff game in the offseason?
Nope, you can't do it.
So I guess there's nothing to do this offseason then.
Yeah, if he's healthy, he'll hit another 40 to 50 home runs next year. He'll drive in another 120 runs. He'll bat, 300, and they'll get to the postseason, and he'll stink again. Sports psychologist, bro. Sports psychologist. Go see one. Hey, they put a run up. Dodgers are beating the Yankees now 2-1. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come back, we'll get you up to date on everything that took place today in the world of sports. World Series is going on. We had a trade, and an NFL player, his season ended. We'll get to it. Don't move.